Mary pushes her feet into the cold bedrock of the tomb. Trembling, maybe, but she is sturdy. She pauses to notice the stone holding her up, and she grounds herself there. Perhaps her voice cracks as she tells these messengers that someone has taken away her Lord. Her vision is clear, though. She needs to be with his body. She needs to be present. I can't help but wonder about Mary Magdalene. We know so little about her life. So much of it is lore handed down from the patriarchy, conflating stories at her expense. There is no reason to believe that she was a loose woman. Was she just a bold woman, not afraid of her voice or ashamed of her body? Were the disciples jealous of her intimacy with Jesus, letting that fester into scorn? No matter the source, her reputation does not hold her back. What we do know is far more compelling. We know that she comes. Mary shows up. When Jesus is still on the cross, she comes. The other Gospels tell us that at his death, the sky grows dark and the earth shakes. And Mary stays. And now she walks back, still in the dark. Does she come so early for fear of being arrested? Or for a chance to pray when all is quiet? Or is it that she simply can't bear to stay away any longer? Mary had lost everything, and she returns to the tomb. This still happens today. Maybe it's less spectacular than Mary's unwavering presence to suffering, but it still happens. I hold in my heart the ones who have done it for me, the ones who came still in the darkness and stepped into the tomb. My mind leaps to an afternoon when, years ago now, my phone rang. I was sitting on my bed just a few hours after my mom's death. The call came from a number in Indiana that I didn't recognize. Now, the thing about death, maybe especially when you've bet against all odds for a different outcome, is that you have to tell people when it's happened. Over and over, fumbling to find words, absorbing each person's horror. I had spent the morning doing that, and I was exhausted. Surprising myself, I answered the phone, and I was taken aback to hear the voice on the other end. "Liz, it's Charlie, the priest in my hometown, my mom's priest." He had heard the news, and he had worked his way through our degrees of separation and his seminary connections until he had tracked down my number. He had no words, really. He just wanted me to know that they were there. Across the miles, he showed up. Mary Magdalene is on to something. She understands those liminal hours when time is shifty and the harsh new reality hasn't settled yet, when everything is still changing. That's when she comes. My memory then jumps to the morning after my son Fritz died. That crisp January morning was its own tomb, one that shrouded me in stunned shock, the adrenaline still pumping. I heard a gentle knock on the flimsy door of our cabin, and then the sound of our neighbor letting herself in. She had just learned that Fritz had died. Lori came, and she sat down beside me on a mattress on the floor. She planted herself there. She held me, crumpled, and just stayed. There was nothing to do but show up. It can be terrifying to approach the tomb not knowing what you will find. But these two souls knew that it is actually rather simple. You just come. Not with anything to say or anything to do, to fix or to solve. You just come. And Mary does. She doesn't wait until she has it all figured out. She just comes while it is still dark. And she comes back again, even as morning light begins to filter in. And her eyes play tricks on her. Nothing matches up. The disciples can't make sense of it either. They give up and shuffle home. The scene is distorted. The rock is gone, and the evidence of the empty caved-in cloth lies there, taunting her. Strange messengers question her. And then this sassy gardener. I mean, right? Mary's quiet, heartbroken mourning place is turned upside down. The initial revelation can be maddening. Mary meets the risen Christ because she shows up and because she remains long enough to hear him. He calls her name, and she's still there, rooted in that cold morning ground, ready to hear his voice. She encounters resurrection because she remains. There isn't much to say in times like these. But the thing is, even when words fail, we can still seek. We can look for each other like Mary searches out his body. Maybe the promise this night is not just that Jesus rises, but also that people show up, that people remain. When I stop to consider it, it seems almost an embarrassment of riches. People do this for each other. This is good news. Sisters come and they stay. Brothers crawl into the tomb, and even in their confusion, they face what has been and what has been lost. I hear a promise in this. That broken as we may be when we are hurting and bewildered and scared enough that we too shout, "Crucify, crucify him." The promise of the resurrection is that even through this brokenness, we can show up through Christ who strengthens us. We can let others come close. We can walk alongside one another. Tripp reminded us here last night that Jesus offered one last gift from the cross. He gave us to each other. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. And friends, we are given to each other so that we may show up. This is what we gave ourselves to tonight. We made this vow to Maxwell and to each other and to God. A vow to be present through the fullness of what lies ahead. To show up as we are in all our brokenness and still trusting, searching. And here we are. We gather around the fire. We tell our stories. We call all our saints present as we call ourselves present. Friends, this is who we are. This is our vow to show up, to grieve, to feast, to live, to give ourselves to this new life. When my people came for me, when these brave souls entered into the tomb with me, resurrection began again. Like Mary, I'm not sure I could see it for what it was just then. But they brought new life to me, even when it looked nothing like I had imagined. They brought in possibility, a spark. In them, in their showing up, I saw what God is like. If we pay attention when we show up, when we welcome others to show up, God is revealed. It may be hard to see. She may come cloaked in sass, or he may look like someone we really did not expect. She may be asking questions that drive us mad. But still, if we remain, we will see that Christ is here, drawing us closer into the heart of God. There are so many reasons why we could quail, running, scattering, darting for cover. Mary had her reasons. We have ours. No doubt, many of them are legitimate. We're overwhelmed. We're unsure what to offer. We're afraid. But as we join together in these holy days, we are invited to lay all these reasons down at the foot of the cross, heavy as they are, and just come. It is in this darkness that you kindle the fire. The simple act of presence sparks the possibility of resurrection. It may be small. We may wonder if it can do anything in such darkness. But this fire does not die away. Together with the risen Christ, you kindle this light. Come. Come even while it is still dark. Let us go to the tomb together. New life is waiting. But first, we have to show up.